Okay, so we're back to another week of Tabernet Talks. We are heading into Easter, right? So we are going to do our weekly Q&A show. We actually do this once a month, but I wanted to make sure that I got something in before the holiday, because there's a lot of things that are going on in the market right now that are confusing to consumers, confusing to realtors right now. And I just want to try to touch on some of the things that we see that I can hopefully help on. So the biggest thing that I'm seeing right now is the NRA settlement, right? The NRA settlement is a confusion to a lot of people on really what's going to happen when this thing kicks into effect in July. You know, listen, there's already things going on where people are saying, well, it's already in effect now. It's not in effect now. It still has to go through the courts. The courts still have to approve it. And then if they do approve it and pass it, it would go in July. You know, I think it's business as usual right now. I think you, as a buyer's agent, I don't think you should be afraid. I think you should, you know, really get into fine-tuning your expertise, fine-tuning your profession, and making sure that everyone knows your value as you, you know, get into the spring market here. You know, I see buyer's agents all of a sudden disappearing, you know, and we're getting into the spring market. It's not a time to disappear. It's a time to go out and know your value, right? Go out there and say, you know, this is what I've been doing. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to show buyers in the market why I should be paid what I'm worth, okay? Listing agents are not going to be able to do everything, okay? You know, just because a buyer may go to a listing agent directly and say, I want to buy the house and I want to cut out the buyer's agent because I don't want to pay them the commission. It's not going to be easy for a listing agent to run around with a buyer and sell a house at the same time. You're always going to need buyer's agents, okay? They're not going away. And I think your best ones will survive. And I think even the mediocre ones can survive if they just fine-tune their skill. Okay, so I'm worried that the business is heading into a situation where, you know, listen, back in 2012, the mortgage industry changed the way that they paid loan officers. And, you know, we took a big hit there. Like, loan officers were really scared on whether or not, you know, we were going to get paid correctly again, you know, what the whole thing was. And guess what? We survived, right? We adapted, we survived. And actually, as loan officers, I really turned it on after that. Like, I think that it was even a better situation than I'm in. So as a buyer's agent, I think you should embrace this and say that I could possibly be making more money because it's going to level the playing field. And I'm really going to show my value, and I'm going to be paid what I'm worth. And, you know, I'm going to have more people coming to me because, like I said, the playing field may be lessened. So don't go running away from this NRA settlement. You know, just keep your head in the ground, keep working. You know, people get mad at me because I say business as usual, but really it is business as usual because we're heading into the spring market. We got to go in with our heads on straight. There's people out there that want to buy houses. Rates have stabilized, right? They haven't come down, nor they have gone up. They've just been in that high six range, haven't been back over 7%. So you got to just, you know, realize that this is the way the market's going to be, and we just got to continue. So that's a big one this week that I wanted to touch on. You know, I talked to a realtor this week, and he had asked me to bring up a subject that I don't think many people talk about. And I just wanted to bring it up to you guys because I think that, you know, and in being in the real estate industry is a taxing situation, and it's called burnout. You know, he had asked me to bring up something about, you know, what is burnout, and, you know, burnout is real right now in the real estate industry. I think a lot of people, loan officers, realtors, you know, title companies, homeowners insurance rep, you name it, inspectors, I think everybody's a little bit burned out. I think after going through a market of 2020 and 2021 and 22, we saw such a high influx of volume that everybody was on a party, right? And now, over the last 2 years, we've been working really hard. Some agents saying double, triple, and loan officers I know working triple. And I think we've gotten into a situation now that every deal counts and we're working really hard, and that's where the burnout kicks in. What I do want to say is in the mortgage industry, burnout is common, okay? If you're experiencing burnout, you shouldn't be embarrassed. And you shouldn't say to yourself, well, you know, I don't want anybody else to know that I'm fried, as we say in the mortgage industry. Everybody is, okay? And everybody's going through it. And I think that how to avoid it, you need to take a step back sometimes. And you know, sometimes it's two steps back, right, in order to go forward. And you can't just keep going and going and going. And then next thing you know, you're so burned out that you want to leave the business. And I'm seeing a lot of good experts in this business that I've been through that want to leave the business because they can't take it anymore. And that's not the answer. You know, sometimes you need a couple days off, take the weekend off, don't work nights that week, you know, take a morning off if you need to, you know, go somewhere with your family, maybe go away a couple days, regroup, you know, refresh, because burnout is real. And I think that it's not talked about enough. I think that everybody's just 100 miles an hour all day, every day. I'm a huge culprit for that. And I think that, you know, that used to be the way it was when we were really busy, when the rates were 2 and 3%. But with the rates being stabilized and the market being stabilized, I think it gives you time here to really regroup, and you don't have to go 1,000 miles an hour in order to make the money that you want to make. So I appreciate that feedback, you know, from one of my better agents who wanted me to touch on that subject. So I wanted to get that with you too. So moving on, so declines, okay? Listen, there's not a lot of volume out there, okay? The volume obviously has gone down in the mortgage industry and the real estate industry. There are some people that are still killing it, but the volume has gone down, all right? And I don't care who you are. There's a lot of mortgage companies out there that are just saying, yes, 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 we could do everything, because you're so hungry and so desperate to want to close deals that they'll say yes to anything that breathes, even if they know that they can't do it. This is something that I pitch constantly. If you go on my Facebook and my Instagram and my LinkedIn, I'm constantly pitching, you know, go with who you know, right? Go with someone local, right? You know, who you work with matters, right? I constantly say that because I keep seeing it every week. Someone comes in and says, oh yeah, well, Alex kind of fumbled, or someone on Alex's team fumbled, and I have another lender that can do the deal, no problem, and you know, they'll just close it the next day and have a nice life, right? So you can't trust everything that you hear, all right? Because a week later, I'll hear that company wasn't able to close the deal either. And they come back to me, and then they say, you know, can you still help me? And can your team still step in and try to get us closed quickly? Don't trust everything that you hear. Just because one company says that they can't do it doesn't mean an automatic other company can do it. Do your homework and make sure that the company that's saying that they can do it has the strength to do it, right? Has the reviews, has the background, has a good solid loan officer that's saying that they can do it, and not just some fly-by-night company on the internet saying, well, I can just do everything, and then you're in the same situation that you were in with us where we possibly couldn't have done the deal, and then they bring you to the day before closing and they can't do the deal. And everybody looks bad. And guess what? Nobody gets paid. And the people don't get their house, and the sellers don't sell their house, and the realtor doesn't get paid, and the loan officers were all available and the deal didn't get paid. It's just not a good situation. Watch out for the declines. If your loan officers is telling you that there's a problem with the loan and there's a way that they want you to do it, stick with what they're telling you. You know, listen, it might not be the information that you want to hear. Like, you might say, well, I don't agree that he wants another pay stub because I gave him two other pay stubs. Give him the pay stub. If he's asking for that, or his processor is asking for that, give them the pay stub. And I want to give a bump out to my processor this week. She has been with me for 15 years, actually more than that. She's my backbone when it comes to getting deals to the table. She's the person behind the curtain, other than my company, who's excellent at what they do too. But she's really a... What I'm giving her a bump out for this week is, and this is for all the processors that are in the business, you know, a lot of these people are mad at the processor because the processor is asking for conditions on the loan that are needed. You know, the processor just works for the company, right? It's not like, oh, well, you know, she's the underwriter. The processor is just asking for the things that are needed in order to get a deal to the table. So don't take your frustrations out on a processor, okay? Don't take them out on a loan officer. The banking rules are the banking rules. They're set by the government, right? We just work here. We're just trying to get you to closing. So, So that's what I wanted to get to this week on declines, and obviously just watching out who you go with. You know, what do we need? You know, the biggest question I keep being asked, because there's a lot of people that are unfortunately having a hard time in this market, which I understand. You know, what do you need to do to succeed in this market right now? What do you need to do to succeed in this market right now? As I said it again, let me tell you something. You got to get up every morning with a clear head. Okay. If you don't get up with a clear head to say, this is my goals for today, and this is what I need to do in order to get this deal through, then you got a problem. And not a deal, just anything that you do. My marketing, I'm going to meet with people today. I'm going to meet with my processor today. You got to have the goals set. You can't just sit back and say, okay, well, I'm waiting for the business to come to me. Those days are gone. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I watch a lot of shows on LinkedIn from some of the top loan officers in the country, not only in the area. And you know what they're doing every day? They got a plan. And they don't wake up in the morning and say, all gloom and doom, and that I'm not going to be able to, you know, go with my job. Like they're coming in with a goal. They're setting their ways. They're not listening to all the hubbub around them, and they're doing it, right? Some of them have 20 deals closing in April, which is crazy in this market, you know, that you're doing it. And listen to the realtors that I have on every week. If you go back through my podcast that I've started from the beginning, a lot of these guys are motivated. Like I try to bring on the top people in the market, right? In Philadelphia, because we're here. If I had gone to another state, I'm sure I could find, you know, top producers also. But, you know, you have to talk to those people, like listen to them. You know, I had the rookie of the year on. He went off and told me what he was doing. I had one of the top team leaders in Philadelphia who runs a team of 45 people. He was one of my first shows. He was ridiculous. Like he told me how to get to where we need to be. You got to talk to people who are doing it in the toughest market. You don't talk to the people that are doing it in an easy market because everybody's doing it. So to succeed, get up with a clear mind, attack, do your goals, and you will, you know, you will get further. So that was a big one there. Social media. Okay. So obviously me doing this podcast every week is bringing you guys as much content and information that I can possibly bring you. Social media is big right now. You know, we do, you know, my team, we do a ton of social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, we do a lot. And then again, I'm going to revert back to a lot of the people that I interview all do social media too, in order to be successful. You got to have social media in your game right now. There's too many guys that come to me that say, I want to join the Tabernay group. And then I go onto their social media. They said they've been a loan officer for the last 10 years. I go on their social media and we don't even know they're a loan officer. They literally, they don't even list that they're a loan officer. You don't even know who they are. How are you going to succeed if you don't have a brand or an identity? You're not. You're not. I mean, listen, am I a fan of doing some of the things that I do on social media? Do I feel like sometimes you're a little bit cheesy or whatever, or maybe I'm a little bit embarrassed to do what I'm posting or saying, but guess what? That's what people want to hear, right? Buyers no longer watch TV, right? Who watches TV, right? Everybody watches the internet. They watch Instagram, they watch YouTube, they watch Google, they watch video, right? And they read content that's put on. Right. So you got to be out there. You got to let people know what you do. You can't be a secret. If you're a secret and no one knows what you do, that's the business that you're going to have. Now, I'm not saying post 16 times a day, right? Every hour on the hour. I don't do that either. I might post once or twice a day at the most, you know, maybe twice if I can, but at least once. And it's something of importance, something that I run into. You know, I might run into a loan scenario where it got declined. You know, that's a big one. I might run into a win. I closed a really big deal today down at the shore. I want everybody to know about it. Sure, you're excited. But there's something that is out there. If you can't find one piece of content that you could post once a day or at least once every other day, if not once a day, then you're not in the mortgage business or in the real estate business, because there's so much content that could be found that you could post that it's mind-boggling. So social media is huge, and you should focus on it constantly to further your business, you know, I'm going to put social media over networking, and probably people are going to, you know, say, well, he's wrong. Networking is bigger than social media because I like to go out and meet people face to face. That's fine. I'm not putting you down. But if you don't have a face on social media where they can find you, then I think that you're losing at least 50% of the battle. You might be winning the other 50% by meeting with people and connections. So that's that. Where are the interest rates heading? Again, I don't know. If I knew, then I would tell you. And then I would be on an island right now, as I've been saying every week, probably getting a nice tan. Seriously, though, where are the rates going? We don't know. I don't even think the Fed knows where the rates are going. I think that they keep saying, yeah, you know, they start off with 6 cuts and then it's 4 cuts and then it's 2 cuts and maybe now it's 3 cuts and maybe 1 in June, but they don't know, maybe in July and then maybe 1 at the end of the year, but then they don't know if they're going to do it around the election. You can't hang your hat on when the Fed are going to cut the rates. And I think what's the good thing in the real estate industry right now and in the mortgage industry on my side, people are realizing that the rates are never going to come back down to 2 and 3%. They're actually starting to realize that this is a normal market and this is what the rates are going to be. You know, 6%, 6.5%, this is the new norm. Now, if something exciting happens where they do cut them and they happen to get into the 5s and 4s, great, right? That's wonderful. Let's refi everybody again and have a big party. But until then, I think the public, the general knowledge of the public is, you know, that the rates are finally steadying off. And I think we may see some rate cuts this year. I am on board with all the experts saying that it's going to be 2 or 3 rate cuts this year. And I think you will see things leveled back down maybe to the low 6s is what I'm thinking, just my prediction. But it is what it is, guys. And I think you can't keep sitting on the sideline saying, well, I'm waiting for the rates to go to 4% and 3%. You're going to be waiting a long time. And you're missing the boat. You know, you could be buying real estate right now and you sit on it, right? You gain the equity. You know, you build your portfolio and then you can always refinance down the road when that happens. If a loan officer is telling you that you're going to refinance in the next 6 months, they don't know that, right? Nobody knows when these rates are going to go down. So if they're promising you, well, the next 6 months, we're going to refi anyway. We don't know that. It could be a year. It could be a 2 years. So listen to the truth. And just if you like the deal and you like the payment and you want to buy real estate because you want to further your portfolio, just do it. Okay. And I said it, and I'm probably going to get a lot of naysayers on that because I just know that everybody's thinking, well, Alex, you don't know. I mean, the rates are 6.5% and 7%. The payments are so high on everything. Yeah. The payments are so high on everything, but I just saw something on Facebook. You're complaining about the rates being 7%, but how about your credit card bills being 25%, you know, and your car loans being 17%. You don't have a problem paying that monthly, but you have a problem paying mortgage interest rates that are 6.5% and 7%. It doesn't make sense. You know, you pay $2,000 a month in credit cards, but you don't want to pay a $1,500 a month mortgage payment. I posted something on social media where, you know, some guy pays $2,500 a month in rent right now, but we can't approve him to pay a $2,000 a month mortgage payment. So the mortgage company shot him down and said $2,000 a month is too high for you to pay. But right now he's paying rent of $2,500 a month. If you can pay the rent, take the shot, you know, go for the mortgage. If you can get approved for it, then go for it. Why pay the $2,500 a month in rent? So, you know, stick with that. Service is a big one right now too. Just because someone's telling you that you're getting a low interest rate doesn't mean you're going to get service. You know, I got a lot of people cutting my throat. Oh yeah, Alex gave me 6.5 and Alex, this guy's giving me 5.5. That's called just a lower interest rate. Can that guy actually service you? Will he answer your phone calls on the nights, weekends? You know, will he get back to you? Will he get back to your realtor? You know, I got a lot of realtors that say, hey, Alex, the person went with another company because you didn't have that good of a rate, but I can never get the guy on the phone. The guy won't respond to me on email. He won't respond to me on a text message. We don't even know that he's alive, you know, versus you respond, you know, within the hour, whether it's good news, bad news. If you're in a meeting, you text us to say you're in a meeting. You know, we need somebody who is answering the phone. Now, even though your interest rate may be a little bit higher because this guy undercut you, it doesn't matter. Sometimes rates don't matter if you're not going to get the service in order to get you to closing. Okay. I see it all the time. I you know, some Joe Schmo company comes out of nowhere and undercuts me and says, I'm going to give this guy a really awesome rate. And then Joe Schmo disappears the minute that the client accepts the deal and says, okay, I'm going to lock in with Joe Schmo. Have a nice life, Alex. Great. But are they ever going to get back to you? And are you going to get the closing on time? And are they going to communicate with your realtor? Probably not. Okay. It's not all about interest rates, guys. Interest rates are nice. Interest rates are great because it's going to make your payment low. But if you don't get the service that you need in order to get to closing, you got a problem, okay? Then the interest rate doesn't matter if they can't close you. I always say, that's great they give you 2%, but if they can't close you, then what's the point of getting 2%? So that's a big one there. Service versus interest rates. Service always wins. Interest rates, I would say, are in second place because if you don't have the service to get you to closing, you're not going to get the interest rate anyway. Good. So, what else do I see? I'm now calling myself, and I'm going to make everybody on my team, even my processor, we're going to call ourselves buyer's agent advocates, okay? I heard this on a podcast from a very well-known expert in the business, loan officer. He closes hundreds of millions a year. No, he's not in Philadelphia or New Jersey, but he's local, okay? And he... is a buyer's agent advocate. You know, what that is listen, with this new world that we're going into, and I'm going to revert back to the NRA settlement that everybody's getting worried about. Buyer's agents are coming into focus now on whether they're worth what they are being paid. Okay. You know, I deal with a lot of buyer's agents. Like I'm probably, you know, 80 to 90% buyer's agents. And then I have about maybe 10 to 20% listing agents that I deal with. And everybody's saying to me, well, Alex, aren't you scared that, you know, you may not have a career because buyer's agents are going away? That is ridiculous. I'm going to be your advocate. If you work with me and I run into a buyer, I'm going to let them know they need to work with you, right? They need to work with a buyer's agent because I think a lot of clients are going to be out there now and they're going to be calling mortgage guys directly, you know, or their attorney or wherever their title rep friend or whatever they're going to do. And they're going to say, I want to deal with, should I just go and buy this listing on my own? Or no, you need to deal with a buyer's agent. Okay. And here's a list of people that I have. And this is a 90 or 100 tasks of what these buyer's agents do in order to get you to closing. I don't think the public really knows the behind the scenes, what goes on with a buyer's agent and a loan officer and what we do in the mortgage industry, even to get a closing to the table. And we work closely with the buyer's agents in order to get the buyer to closing. You know, we need that. You need a team. You can't just deal with one person. One person can't do it all. Okay. So, my biggest thing is letting everyone know in the public that you need a professional to help you get to closing. And I'm going to be that person. If I run into buyers that are looking for, referrals, I'm always going to stick with my buyer's agents to say, you got to go with these guys. Hey, listen, they charge you whatever they charge you. Everybody's saying these commissions, you know, were never negotiable. They were always negotiable, right? You could always negotiate your commission. So you go and negotiate your commission with the buyer's agent directly. That's fine. But I think that you need to work with a buyer's agent, not an attorney. You know, somebody put on Facebook, I'm going to work with my attorney and just pay him a flat fee of $1,500 and the attorney's going to take care of working with those. No thanks, okay? Not to put the attorneys down because I know you guys got a job, but you're not a buyer's agent, okay? An attorney barely answers their phone to anybody in the transaction. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, it's great to have an attorney if you feel comfortable. But they're not a buyer's agent. So if you think you're just going to go to an attorney and pay him $1,500 to help you buy a house to take over what you were paying a buyer's agent, you're sadly mistaken. That's like going to, you know, a bank directly without dealing with a loan officer who knows his stuff and just trusting that someone at a bank who sits at a desk from 8 to 4 and gets paid an hourly rate is going to take care of you over someone who does it on the street every day for the last 25 years. Not going to happen. So let me tell you something. You guys got to watch out there. Everybody seems like they're going to get cheap now. Don't get cheap when it's buying a house. It's the biggest investment of your life. All right. Don't get cheap when it comes to paying for service and what you need. So I did want to touch on that. And then two quick processing things. Multi-unit properties, everybody's buying them. I brought this up a few times. I do want to bring it up again because it seems like every time I talk to someone every week, they're asking me again about multi-unit properties. You know, how much do you need to put down and what the situation is. So listen, FHA multi-unit, you could do 3.5% down. As long as you're living in one of the units, you could do 3.5% down. Conventional, and I just brought someone into light yesterday, which was great. He didn't know that you could do now 5% down on a multi-unit conventional home. You don't need to do 20% down. You don't even need to do 15% down. As long as you're living in one of the units and the other units are being rented out, you can get into a multi-unit property with 5% down going conventional. Okay, so I do want to make aware that, you know, this market is changing. And if you don't have a loan officer that's telling you these programs and are going over what the different down payments are, and they're just reverting to, well, let's do 20% down, you got a problem, all right? You know, the multi-units are, it's a house hack. I went over it last week when I had my last interviewee on. You know, you're house hacking, right? You're buying to make income to pay for the rental side of everything, for the mortgage payment. You know, so you want to stick to it, but know your down payments, and the big one is the 5% down with a conventional right now. Another one is gifts. Everybody's getting a gift. Again and again and again, which is fine. I don't mind people getting gifts to buy a house. You know, I always pitch it on every deal. Not pitch it. I let people know that you can do it, right? So if you want to get a gift from your mother, your brother, you know, your sister, your aunt, people don't even know that they can get gifts. Like, gifts are a big part of the mortgage process right now. What I do want to point out is if you're getting multiple gifts, it seems like I'm running into a lot of clients that are getting, you know, $5,000 from my aunt, $10,000 from my uncle, $3,000 from my brother, $2,000 from my sister. I mean, these are multiple gifts. If you don't have an experienced person to help you navigate how that gift is to be given from each source, how we have to show that the person's, it's coming out of that person's bank statement, how we have to show a check from their account that they have this source or the ability to give you the gift, we got a problem. It could be a real mess. So if you're getting a gift, let your loan officer know up front, okay? And let them know that you're getting a gift from multiple sources. Not like a lot of times in the past, it used to be I was just getting a gift from my mother or my father. They were giving me $25,000 or $20,000 towards my gift. It was done and it was easy. It seems nowadays people are getting multiple gifts from multiple people, and it could get very ugly. So make sure that you let your loan officer know up front. The communication needs to be there, and you let them know that it's going to be multiple people that I'm getting a gift from, and here are the breakdowns of what's happening. You don't want to come to the week of closing and we can't verify where the gift is coming from. You know, a lot of people dumping cash into the bank right now. Guys, you cannot dump cash into your bank account. We can't use cash ever. The only time you can ever use cash is if it sits in your bank account for the next 60 days. If it's not there for 60 days, you got a problem, right? It can't just be verified the week after. And then your donor, the person who's giving you the gift, dumps $25,000 in their account, and then they write you a check the next day for $25,000. No, we saw that they're dumping the money into their account, right? Because we're looking at their bank statement. So look out, because these are things that you could come to the week of closing, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, guess what? I don't have enough to close, so I'm going to get a gift from my sister or my brother, and they're going to give me $10,000 cash. What? Well, they're going to dump it into my account, or actually, they're going to dump it into their account, and then they're going to sign the check over to me. That's a problem. You need a loan officer to walk you through that, or a good processor like I have to walk you through that and tell you these are the ways. And listen, you might not like what we say. And this reverts back to listen to the professionals who do it every day. This is what you need to do in order to get the deal through. You might kick and scream and not like it. You don't like the guidelines. But if you don't listen to the way this gift has to go, you're not going to close. It's the bottom line, you know. So that's a big one that I wanted to get out this week. You know, the one of the last ones I want to touch on is uncertainty in the mortgage business. You know, I talk to a lot of my loan officer friends. even myself, I think everybody's a little bit uncertain right now. It's a personal subject that I want, not about burnout. I mean, I went over burnout, but uncertainty is what's going to happen in the summertime. What's going to happen over the next 6 months? You know, we don't know. We just know that we got to work hard and we have to stick with the people that are doing it every day. I commend some of the loan officers who, you know, close out the noise and they do what they do best because they don't listen to any outside sources on what's going on. I hope that, you know, we do see a better market coming up. I think we're starting to see a light, over the last week or so, I think things are starting to pick up. I think once we get through Easter, we'll see more of a pickup. The weather will sign, you know, this weather's been terrible here. It rains every week. It's cold. So I think once we see the weather start to turn around, you're going to start to see things pick up. So I think you need to hang in a little bit longer there and, you know, put your faith in the process and just keep going. That's basically it for the week, guys. So I wanted to, you know, come out here. I'll be out next month with another Q&A show. I try to do it at least once a month so I can tell you what's going on the front line. Hopefully you find some value to this. I'll be back with a guest coming up soon. We're really going to start looking at some of the even higher end realtors. I'm going to go after some of the luxury market realtors coming up because I think we need to hear what's going on in the luxury market, right? I think that's a whole nother avenue of business that realtors are missing on. And I think it could be another tidbit or a market that you may want to look into, because the luxury market, there's people with a lot of money right now. I mean, they're buying houses $600,000-$800,000 cash. Where are they getting the cash from? I don't know. But, I think we have to look at that market. So if you're a luxury agent out there and you want to come on the show, reach out to me, you know, shoot me a DM or whatever. If not, I'll be looking for you anyway. But if you think you have some value to add with the luxury market, whether it be in Philly or Jersey, I would love to have you on and, maybe give us another avenue of some business that people may be missing out on. So have a great week, guys. Happy Easter. And I will see you soon. Thank you.